Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things taken. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
An open studio. Open studio.
Woo!
Wow! All praise, man. All praise. Woo! You talking about cutting it close?
Oh, that's cutting it close, Jack. Oh, man.
Made it. Ah, that's how people gonna feel when the Sabbath day really comes.
Oh, man. Y'all don't know, man. I just
burnt miles of that to get here so I can bring this precept. And it is important to me to bring this precept to, you know, to get here on time to beat it, you know. I thank God that He allowed me to make it. I'm like 1 minute at the door and made it. Man, God, I know. Man, it don't make any sense. I guess that's how we're going to feel, man, when the kingdom comes. Some of us that make it in is going to be like, I just made it. Barely made it in. I hope that ain't my story. I hope I'd be like, all good. But if it is my story, I'm still good with that because I did make it in, right?
Right.
Amen. So, with that being said, man, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Look, Job Israel, the Come and See Ministry. And today, we're dealing with the Sabbath. The Sabbath day, a promise to the saints. What? The Sabbath day? What is that? Some of us never even heard of it. You know, it's not even in our conversation. You know, these things, the Sabbath day and His laws and statutes, and where we're supposed to be in the end of time. These things aren't even in our conversation. We don't even know where we're supposed to be doing, where we're going, where we're supposed to be.
And this is why we read the Word of God, so He can tell us where we need to be. So He can tell us what it is that we need to be doing. See, that's it.
it ain't just, you know, trying to keep the commandments of God or anything like that, you know, because we can do like the best we can with them. But the truth is, you got to keep the commandments to get to the promise, and that's the Sabbath, man. You know, this is that thing. So, bear with me. Like I said, I came through the door smoking, man. I mean, like, just barely made it. So, oh, man. Once again, want to say welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. Tonight is the promise of. The Sabbath is the promise of the saints. Why is it the promise of the saints? Because the Sabbath day, man, is really big, and everybody ain't going to get in. It's not for everybody. First of all, you got to believe it. First of all, you got to believe that it is. You know, a lot of us don't believe that the Sabbath day is even real. Yeah, it's very real. In fact, when we get to this promise, we're going to see that it's big time real. You know, a lot of us don't look at as something like that. Oh, God, I think I left my glasses. Running out of, okay. Gotta go get my glasses. Gotta run a car. I thought I had grabbed them. Nope. Oh, that's what I get for being. Oh, no, I did. Ah, okay, good. All right, so look, let's just get into this, man. Let's get into this. Like last week, man, we dealt with the Sabbath, man, you know, in what do it mean, you know, and why you keep it. You know, that's the other thing. We dealt with that. We dealt with Jesus setting it up. We're going to deal with a little bit of that so that we can get into the promise of the saints. We got to deal with a little bit of that just so we can go to the next thing. Everything we do here at the Sounds of Living Waters, we try to connect the dots so that everybody can get an understanding. So we try to start at ground zero. Hopefully, those of us that's listening, you know, probably tune in. Or if you see a precept and you see 1, 2, or 3, or you check the dates and you see that you're dealing with something that's pertaining to something you need to listen to, feel free to tune in or download the precept. Or just listen at it. You don't have to download, just listen at it. You know, it's a lot of that going. It's a blog, right? Okay, so let's do this. Let's open up, and we're going to get started. Amen. So if I can ask my brother to stand and face Jerusalem and uncover their head, and if I can ask my sister stand and face Jerusalem and cover their heads, if possible. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy on sin, fourfold, physical, and spiritual gifts of sin. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light and countenance upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and in the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and give them a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and in the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercies and glory forever. Amen. Okay. Let's look at this, the Sabbath. Let's start this in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Let's start it here, and we're going to pick it up at 1.
And we're going to go into this, man, because this is really a beautiful promise left to the servants, man. If you want to be a part of this, you want in. You seriously want in on this. Leviticus 23:1, and it says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. So they ain't the feast of the Jews, which is a common misinterpretation, man. They hear. So we can't belittle it. And that's what we do. We always trying to cast doubt or belittle the word of God so we can justify our madness. No. They're his. Verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath for rest and holy convocation. You should do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So, the next thing is this. It's the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Why is that? Hold up. Why is that? Because, one, he's telling you it's the Sabbath, no matter where you at in the planet. Some of us feel like you can't keep the Sabbath day if you're in another man's land. You know, that's crazy. Paul did it. So there's no way we can sit up there and say,
Hold on.
How we doing? All right,
good.
Okay, good. Now we got it. So now we got to find out. He said he gave specific instruction. 6 days you should do. Shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath for rest and holy convocation. Now, the world has imitated this by having us to go to church on Sunday. But the seventh day is the Sabbath for rest. Well, you look on your calendar, when is the seventh day? That's the question. When is the Sabbath day? Well, the calendar says Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's 7 days, man. But what's the first day of the week? Sunday. So it can't be the Sabbath, not according to the word of God. So if the Sabbath is not Sunday, then when is it? That's the next question, because he said, keep this in all your dwellings. This is important. You know, these are my feet. You got to keep them in their season. You can't keep the Sabbath day any day of the week like people say, you know, what Sabbath is every day. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's a lie. The word of God just said that it's the seventh day, and that's the season. Every end of the week, the Lord wants you to set aside a day that you would hear the word of God and just chill and enjoy the day off from work. That's it. Just you chill. God is going to pay you to take part in the Sabbath. It's like a vacation. He's going to pay you to be still. It's just that simple. But look at this. The promise is this, right? So we keep the Sabbath every day of the week. It's a holy convocation, so it's a holy gathering. So he says 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath for rest, right? And a holy convocation. So it goes from here to here. All right? Leviticus 25:1. It says this. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. So now he's talking about the land keeping the Sabbath. This is how big this thing is. 6 years, now he went from days to years now, right? He went from days, from once a week to years. So if you keep in a Sabbath every day of the week, then you're looking for this. So 6 years, thou shalt sow thy fields, right? 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyards and gather the fruit thereof. But the seventh year is a Sabbath of rest unto the land. It is a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. So he's telling you, you're going to be off for a whole year. You got a whole year vacation with God. He's telling you, every 6 years, you get 1 year off. 1 year. I mean, a whole year. You know what you can do in a whole year? You know how people be on their vacations, they try to cram all of it in. Like some of us, you know, we got 2 weeks, some of us got three, some of us got seven, some of us got 14 weeks. But none of us ain't got no whole year. That don't even make sense to even go to work, to the world. But God had it written in his book, if you work for me, you're going to get a whole year off from work. And then watch this. He said, that which groweth of his own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is the year of rest to the land. The Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you and for thee and for thy servants, for thy maid and for thy hired servants and for the strangers that sojourn with thee. So not only is Israel supposed to keep it, but those that are not Israelites are supposed to keep it. That's with you. And then he said this. He said, it's going to be a day of rest and a day of rest for you. And you ain't got to work, but the land is going to feed you. It said the Sabbath of the land, it shall be meat for you. It's going to feed you. He's going to take care of you for an entire year, right? Now watch this. And then it says, it goes into another conversation. And thou shalt number seven Sabbaths of years unto thee. Seven times 7 years in a space of seven Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Now, we just jumped into what we call the Pentecost, which is in Leviticus chapter 23. But this is the spiritual Pentecost, which is by years, right? So get this. Thou shalt cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In a day of atonement, you shall make the sound through your trumpet and hollow the 50th year. Now, mind you, every 6 years, right, you've been getting a year off. Now, here come the 50th year, and you're finna get another year off. That's what's good about God. We look at the Father like he, you know, he all, like he just pressing and he's a tyrant and all this madness. That's what, No. That ain't what we reading here. I would go for this anytime. Please allow me to take part in it. In the name of the, please, Father, let me take part. I want this. I want that. He said, hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land of the inhabitants thereof, and it shall be a jubilee. And you shall return every man his possession. You shall return every man to his family. So every man is going to be free. Get this. And it says this, watch this, the same law applies. It went from days to every 6 years, every 7 years, to every 50 years, right? So all these Sabbath days is all adding up to this event. And it says this, a jubilee shall be that 50th year unto you, and you shall not sow nor neither reap which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it, for thy vine undressed. Brothers and sisters, please listen to this. That's 2 years back to back. Every 50 years, you don't have to work. Every 50 years, you don't have to work. 2 years. Mind you, the Pentecost, remember the Pentecost is Sunday, right? That's the first day of the week. But the Sabbath day, which leads to the Pentecost, that's two back-to-back Sabbaths. So not only are you going to get that year off, but you're going to get another year off? Are we kidding? Are we not listening at this thing? Are we seriously going to say, man got it right and we're missing this memo? I take this any day of the week. I take a two-year vacation. I take a one-year vacation. Plus, I'm guaranteed a day off every week, plus you get the feast days. Look, I did the math on all the Sabbaths, because that means all the Sabbath days, there's 52. So you get 52 days immediately off in a year, plus the feast days, right? And so you're looking at, with the feast days in them, you're talking about close to 60-some days off, just with pay off. You ain't got to do nothing. The Lord gonna take care of you, hands down. You don't have to worry about none of them good things. He got this. And he said, the jubilee shall be holy unto you, and you shall eat the increase thereof. So you ain't got to worry about that. Get this in the jubilee, right? Get this in the 50 years. And in the year of the jubilee, you shall return every man unto his possession. If thou sell aught unto the neighbor, buy aught from thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years of jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor according to the number of years and the fruit he shall sell unto thee. Now watch this. And he said, verse 20, and if ye shall say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. See that? There go the Sabbath day going into the Pentecost. Why is this here in Leviticus chapter 23? Because you got back-to-back years off. Off. You got 2 years of not working? That's the key to work. I take it. I bad at. Man, God, please. You know what? You think people trying to get in America, they'll be breaking down the walls trying to get in Jerusalem, trying to do this. If you shall say what we shall eat, behold, we shall not sow nor gather our increase. Then, this is what he said he's going to do. Then will I command my blessings upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. You see that? Because you're not going to work on the seventh. You're not going to work on a jubilee. So you're going to have food for that year, that year. So I'm going to pull my blessings on you on the sixth year. That means that your harvest is going to be out of control. Your barns is going to be falling out of food and grains, and your flock is going to be all out of control. Your herds is going to be doing all extra stuff, and it's going to be plenty for everybody to eat. And then he said this, you ain't got to worry about starvation in this, in the kingdom of God, because he's telling you, I got you. And then he said this, and you shall sow in the eighth year, you get back to work on the eighth year. And he said, you shall eat of the old fruit until the ninth year, right? Until her fruit come in, and you shall eat of the old store. So he got us covered. That's the Sabbath, man. That's the Pentecost Sabbath. Give me that. But wait a minute. There's more. Like a Remco commercial, right? But wait, there's more. Here it is. Get this. All right, now first you got to understand where we at. Watch this. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and pick it up at 1, and it says this. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it, he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, the seventh day, the only day he blessed and sanctified, he called all the rest of them good. And if he called them good, you ain't got no idea what he mean by good. That's why any day of the week, life can just turn around for you just like that. Boom, you there. You're like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. Every day of the week is good. But he said the seventh day, he blessed it, sanctified it, because he rested from all his work which he had created and made. So I guess he did bless it, because he said, I'm going to bless on the sixth day for 3 years. For in the sixth year, I'm going to bless it for 3 years. That's how blessed he blessed the Sabbath day. And you want to be in that blessing, because every time you keep the Sabbath day, you saying, pour these blessings on me. I want this. I want to be a part of this. I want some of that. Wake me up, Jesus, so I can live with that. I want to live in that. I want to come up in the first resurrection, Father. I want to be a part of this thing big time. God, have mercy and allow me to live through the great white throne judgment, and allow me to see this beautiful thing, this plan that you have. What do you mean? And on the seventh day, he ended his work which he had made and rested on the Sabbath day from all his work which he made. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And it says this. Let us therefore fear. Now he's telling you, you better fear this, man, because you might miss this. Least a promise being left of us of entering in his rest, if any of you the same to come short of it. That's what I'm talking about. The day of rest is a promise, man. It's not about, you know, a physical thing that you're doing. It's always been spiritual. One is, he wrote it down in the law, and two, he gave it to Adam, and three, Adam and Eve took part in the Sabbath day because they both was created on the sixth day, right? So here it is. He said, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached and as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works was finished from the foundation of the world. What? So this conversation was back in Genesis chapter 2 where we read it. That's when the foundation, he said he had finished everything, the heavens and the earth and everything in it. That's when he said this. This is what 4 and 3 is having, that conversation. Now watch this. It was never physical. It was always spiritual. But the physical part is showing the Lord that you want to take part in the spiritual part. When you keep the physical part, you're saying, I want to be a part of the spiritual part. If I'm working on the Sabbath, I'm saying I don't want to be a part of the physical Sabbath. When it comes, when the spiritual Sabbath, if I'm taking that seventh day off, I'm telling the Most High I want to be a part of this spiritual. Verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached, and are not because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, and as it is said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had given him rest, he would not afterwards spoken of another day. There it is. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. That's what we're going to get into, right? The promise. The people of God, the promise, the saints, and those that are left. Watch this. He said, for he that enter into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor now. See, he's saying now, just like he worked six days, now you have to work. You have to work. What do you mean? You have to perform that which is good. I ain't saying, you know, you got to be God, but you got to do what he said to do. That's just all to it. People think you're going to get in the kingdom not doing nothing, and you know better. That's not how it works. I'm not going to take care of my children. They ain't listening to me. They ain't taking care of my business. They ain't listening. They ain't paying attention to nothing I'm doing, but I'm going to reward them with something like this. That ain't how it works. That's why he said, he swore in his wrath that they would not get into the rest, the children of Israel that fell in the wilderness 40 years, right? Those brothers and sisters. However, he didn't say they wasn't going to get in the kingdom. They just not going to get into the seventh day or the first resurrection. Why? Because the Sabbath day is for the first resurrection. Those that come up in the first resurrection are going to be in this thing hands down, guaranteed. Those that are still alive at this time don't take part in the Sabbath day. By mercy, it is. Let us labor, therefore, and enter into that rest. Into that rest, may any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, what is this day of rest that he's talking about, right? 2 Peter chapter 3 and 8. What is this promise that he's talking about? 2 Peter 3 and 8. And it says this, beloved. It said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Case in point. There it is again. You see? He said, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's the key word, man. You got to repent before you approach the Father, man. You can't just come to him in any kind of way. Yo, what up, Jew? What up, Jesus? How you doing, Father? Oh, man, I'm an Israelite. Thank you for letting me. I'm going to the lake. Nah, God forbid. You know, you can't come to God like that, man. You got to come to him on your face, man. You better, like our fathers did, man, we fell on the ground, man, and stretched out and laid out when we heard, when he seen him, man. And he said this, he said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Now, here's the deal. We got to stop thinking, when we read Leviticus chapter 23, after reading it, this is why you read your whole Bible. When you read Leviticus 23, you realize now he's talking about 1,000-year equinox. He's preparing us to take part in this. When you read Genesis chapter 2 and 4, Genesis 2, 4, 2 and 3, he's talking about this. That's what Paul said. Well, not Paul, but Timothy. That's what he said. He the one wrote Hebrews. It said no author for Hebrews. Yes, it is. In the 1611, it said it's Timothy. Anyway, it says this. It says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Now, here's something I want you to do, right? Now, this is going to get physical. You can see it with your eyes if you do this, okay? Do this. Take a piece of paper, landscape it, right? And I want you to write on the top of it 1 through 14, okay? And then on the bottom of it, I want you to write from the 6th day, 1 through 14, right? But I want you to count from the 6th day to the to the 14th day. Why? Because the 6th day is the beginning of man. Okay, so now we're looking at 1,000 years. Now, why did I say count 1 from 14? Because we are now counting from when he said, in the evening and the morning was the 1st day, because he said a day with him is 1,000 years. So now we're going to say it's 6,000 years from when he said, let there be light, to Adam. And then from Adam, it's another 6,000 years, because Adam got to work 6,000 years in order for him to take a day of rest. That's the promise that's left to the saints, that he's going to rest on the 7th day with God. That's what Adam did, right? He is one of the sons of God, even himself, even Eve. All of them is the sons of God, even though we said, we still call the sons of God. If we repent from our sins, I do it again. Then he said this. He said, You count from 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 should land you on 14. 1 through 14 is the creation. 6 through 9 is man. That's man time. Now, I'm not saying the earth is 6,000 years old. That's crazy because we got dinosaurs, man. But I'm talking about this side of the creation. Where we at? We're talking about 14,000 years. Flat out. From Genesis 1 all the way to the coming. All the way to New Jerusalem, that's 14,000 years. Inside of the 14,000 years, now mind you, the 14,000 year would be the 14th day, which happened to be the Passover. If you make it to New Jerusalem, guess what? The Lord passed over your sins in the great white throne judgment. Guess what? You know what Moses, you know why he had Moses put blood over the doorpost? Because he would have to cover you in his blood so that you can enter into the Father's kingdom. That's why in the great white throne judgment, he passed over you. He's either going to let you in or not. But if he passed over your sins, he's going to cover you in his blood. That's the whole point of him putting the blood over the doorpost with Moses, right? So now we've got that. So now he's telling us that's on the 13th day in the creation. The judgment takes place on the 8th day and the 13th day. The 8th day in man and the 13th day in the creation. Why? Because the 8th day is when man is circumcised. That is to say, no more flesh and blood. He turned into spiritual being. That's the only way you can see the Father, that you're a spirit. Ain't no more flesh and blood when New Jerusalem come down, which is the 14th day in the creation. In the 8th day of the creation, that's when he says, circumcise Isaac on the 8th day, because it was pointing toward this, that you had to be circumcised of the flesh to take part in the Father. End of it. Now here come New Jerusalem on the 14th day, like Jesus said, I will no longer drink of this vine to my Father's kingdom. Wait a minute, what day was that? That was the Passover. Case in point. Everything is consistent. So now we see that this plan is right here, right? The plan is right here. Now watch this. Now let's go into Revelation 20, because remember how the plan is the promise of the people, right? The plan is the promises to the saints. Now here it comes. Revelation 19, and it says this. Revelation 19 in verse 6. And it says this, and I heard as if it was the voice of a great multitude and the voice of many waters, as the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. The wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. See that? It's all about the saints, man. This is the sixth day. She's ready. She's ready. She's ready to go into the Sabbath day. But before that happens, he got to take the world back. He said this, and he said unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet and said unto, and he said unto me, see thou doest it not. I'm thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We just got to read that. Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3 is prophecy. That's what we read about the Sabbath day, flat out prophecy. And then he said, I saw, verse 11, said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And righteousness he do a judge and make war. Now, and he said, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And his clothes with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. This is that thing. So now he's going to war. He's not warring on the Sabbath day. This is the last day of the week. This is the last day of the spiritual week, the seventh day of man, the last day of the sixth day of man. That's why he's saying he got a clean house before the Sabbath day. He got a clean house. All that's done. Now, by the time the Sabbath come around, the wicked is out the way. Now, watch this. I'm going to skip now because I'm not dealing with this war thing. Not today. We're just going here for a reason. Now, to show that this is the end of the sixth day. Verse 19, it says this. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse against his army. And the beast was taken, and a false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his enemy. These both was cast alive of fire burning with brimstone. So here go the beast and the false prophet being cast in the lake of fire before anybody else. Ain't nobody else in the lake of fire. Remember now, everybody else is waiting on the great white throne judgment. We're going to read that in a few minutes. But it says this in verse 19. It says, and the remnant was slain with the word of him that sat upon a horse, and which the word proceeded out of his mouth, and all fowls were filled with their flesh. See? So the rest of them, he just killed them that went to war. But the beast and the false prophet, they got their reward. They being judged. They already judged. So they're going to the lake, right? So Revelation chapter 20, this is a continual conversation. Now, this is officially the end of the sixth day. Here come the seventh day, Revelation chapter 20. Remember now, it was always spiritual. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Now, mind you, this chain was made out of heaven. We read what heaven is made of. We read what heaven looked like. We read that it ain't nothing like what we've been taught. But it came from this. In that book of life, trust, it ain't made out of paper. Anyway, it says this. He laid hold on the dragon, that old circle, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Why 1,000 years? Because the sixth day is over with. It's officially now the Sabbath day. You got to bind the rest breaker, which is the devil. He ain't going to be around on the seventh day, that 1,000 years of rest. He's done. He ain't going to have nothing to do with that. He's out of the picture in chains, right? He said he ain't going to be nowhere near the Sabbath day, the one we're trying to get to, the one that's been promised. That's the one we want to get to, right? Remember now we read the daily Sabbath day, then we read the 7-year Sabbath day, then we read the Pentecost Sabbath, right? Now we're reading the first the Sabbath that we all waiting on right here. And it says this, and it cast him into a bottomless pit, wherever that is, shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. This after that he shall be loose a little season. So after the seventh day, you go into the eighth day in the creation of man. This is what we're dealing with. In the eighth day of the creation of man. So Satan is bound on the seventh day for a whole 1,000 years, as we've seen. Peter said, a day with God is 1,000 years. So Adam putting in work from Genesis to Revelation is 6,000 years. And on the seventh day, now mind you, we're coming up on the seventh day. We almost there. We are, you know, we kind of close because we in the year 2000. Technically, brothers and sisters, if we really was in the year 2000, it would be the Sabbath day. It would be. But man's calendar is running ahead of God's calendar. That's that thing. Be honest about it. When you really break this thing down between 360 and 365, we really probably in the year 1989, maybe 1988, 85, ballpark. I ain't saying it is. I ain't saying it is. I'm saying it's anywhere from between 1987 and 1990 something. Not 95, not 98, because that would get into the Great Tribulation period. But we pushing up on the days of sorrow, which is 2,300 days that Daniel was talking about, that the Lord is going to turn the earth loose. He's going to bring on the earth that he called the 2,300 days of Daniel. And then inside those 2,300 days are 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years of Great Tribulation. Be honest about it. When we read Revelation chapter 19, that was the end of it. That was the end of the Great Tribulation period. Then he said this, and I saw thrones, and then they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. Now, he saw thrones, and they that sat upon them are these angels. Right? Because he saw thrones. We know God, right? He's sitting on the throne, but this is a pool. I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years or the Sabbath. There it is. There were that 1,000 years. There were the Sabbath day. That's the whole point of keeping the Sabbath. You want to be here. You want to get one of them thrones. You want to be there. You want to have eyes of flesh. You want to be the saints that made himself or herself ready. You don't want to be playing around knowing that this is coming, because he's going to take the earth out and then some. But the rest of the dead live not again to the 1,000 years. This is the first resurrection. See, this is the promise to the saints. The saints had made herself ready. This is the first resurrection. The saints come up in the first resurrection. There will be not one saint in the judgment. Not one. There is no such thing as a saint being in the judgment. There is no such thing as a saint being in the great white throne judgment. No. It's no such thing. Only the saints coming up in the first resurrection. And it says this, and get this, if they come in here, then why ain't they in heaven? Uh-oh, we got us a problem. Got a problem, because the word of God ain't saying that. Word of God saying here, watch this. He said, blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection, on such the second death have no power. So those that come up in the first resurrection, he going to give all power. And those that come in the second resurrection, they get mercy. They don't get all power. That's that thing. But shall be priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So not only
how they're going to be priests of God, but they're going to live and reign, you know, 1,000 years.
And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, remember that. They're going to end of the Sabbath day. Guess what? We are now officially in the 8th day of Adam, in the 13th day of the creation, verse 7. All right? We're not interested in this whole conversation, but just for reason of verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, nobody else, and they shall be tormented day and night forever. And I saw a great white throne. There it is. So nobody's in the lake of fire right now. Nobody's in heaven. None of that nonsense. It's just everybody waiting on the judgment. Okay? Ain't no devils in the lake of fire. They running around on the earth deceiving people. You see? So we still, everybody's still waiting on this thing. So he's going to bind Satan 1,000 years. Right? So this is that thing. All right? So now he said, thrones, and they that sat upon them, and he said this. He said, and thou hast made us, verse 8, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first medicine. Remember, that ain't the one. 5, it said, yeah, 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such and second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him, rule with him 1,000 years. Now, remember now you saw thrones. Why are you looking at, what do a king do, judge? What do a king do, rule? What do he do? Make sure that the laws are kept. So in the kingdom of God, he going to have spiritual beings running this earth. Let's go to Revelations 5 and 9. Watch this. It says this. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Not heaven, on the earth. But we just got to read in Revelation chapter 20 that he said, you're going to see thrones, and they're going to rule with God for 1,000 years. And they're going to be priests of God. But we see right here, in order for you to sit on the throne, you have to be a what? A king. So what is he doing? And we're going to reign on the earth. Wait a minute. What do you mean reign on earth? Why you need to reign on earth? What's the point of that? I thought we all going to heaven. Is that the promise of the saints? I thought the whole promise of the saints is that we die, we go to heaven, we get our wings, we get our halo, we get our white clothes, and we get to play ukuleles and harps and blow trumpets and sing and play with God all like children forever and ever on some white cloud. No, that ain't the script. That ain't the script. He said we're going to reign on the earth. Okay, so now he got rid of the wicked. Now we read in Revelation 20, he got rid of them. He destroyed them and killed he threw the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire, and he destroyed their army. So it ain't nothing left of this world. All this, the UN and all the nations wiped out. Ain't none of that. So that's all over with. So now he got that set up. Now he got the kings and the priests ruling on the earth. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it says this. First Corinthians 15, and it's in the 20s, man. Give me a minute. Told y'all I came in here running, man. So I'm kind of doing this off. I am doing this off the topic. So please be patient with me. If I got to look at a script where I need to, you know, start at, you know what I mean? Because if I had my notes in front of me, then I'd be going right to the script, but I kind of got to do it off of my head right now. Anyway, it says this. First Corinthians 15 and 22, it says this, for in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All, that's an absolute statement. All is going to be made alive. What do you mean? That's what the great white throne judgment is about. Then you got the first resurrection. Right here it said, but every man acts his own order. Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that come at his coming. You, if you come up in the first resurrection, you're also considered the first fruit. That's what the Pentecost is about, the first fruit. Then it says this, then coming the end, when he have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he have put down all rule and all authorities and power. Why? Because he destroyed them in Revelation 19. And then he must reign. Why? Because he set up all his king. He took out all the governments and all the presidents and all that, and now he's setting up all the saints to rule the world. And he says this, for he must reign till he have put down all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. When all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subjected unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So he's going to just hand it over to the Father. When New Jerusalem come down, the king's on the earth, he got rid of the wicked and the great white throne judgment, and he handed it all over to the Father, and it's all good. Verse 28 is the kingdom of God forever and ever. That's the Passover. That's the 14th day right there. He handed it all over to him. But we ain't got to that yet because we're still dealing with the Sabbath day, right? Okay, we're just showing you this is all a part of the promise of the saints. You get to take part in the Sabbath. Not only that you get to take part in the seventh day, you get to take part in the Sabbaths. Now, let's look at this a little further. Let's go into, I'm going to Deuteronomy 14, and he's given a law of the feast day. Now watch this. He said, he said tithes, right? He said, thou shalt truly tithe all that. He said, truly. If you don't tithe, man, you can forget about it. He said, you should truly tithe. Some people say, well, there ain't no temple, ain't no church. It ain't none of that. Why should I tithe? Well, what was the temple or church at with Abraham and Jacob and Isaac? So you're going to say that their offerings was nothing according to you? Anyway, let's look at this a little further. It says this. I ain't going to read all of this right now. It says, here it is, verse 27. And the Levites that is within thy gate shall not, thou shalt not forsake them, but he have no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years shall thou bring forth all tithes and increase the same year, shall lay it upon the gate. And the Levites, because he have no part and inheritance with thee, and the strangers and the fathers and the widows which are within thy gate shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that God may bless thee in all the works of thy hand which thou do. See, the priest is the one that's going to make sure that the poor have all that they need, even in the kingdom of God. It's the priest. It's the priest. That was their whole job from the gate, man. This here. You see? Look at this a little further. Let's go into, man, I just had a horrible thought. I know this person, man, used to tithe. Now they talking about all I got to do is just give people money out of my pocket. I said, oh, you done went crazy too. Okay, anyway. Where am I at? Let's look at this a little further. So he said this, and the Levites said it within thy gates, right? They're going to set up and they're going to take care of the people. Now I'm going to go to Psalms 132, right? They're going to pick it up there. And then once the kings and stuff is set up on the earth, then he gets to take care of the poor. Watch this. Psalms 132, verse 8, and it says this. please be patient with me, man. I'm trying my best to get through. I'm doing this really, really, really off the top of my head. So please be patient. Arise, O Lord, unto thy rest. There it is again. 132:8. Arise, O Lord, unto thy rest. Thou in the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be whole with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. There it is. The saints and the rest is synonymous. They're one and the same. The saints get to come in the rest. Why? He said, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness. Ain't that what he said? He's going to make us clean and free, and we're going to reign on the earth. He said, let the saints shout for joy. Ain't that what we read in Revelation chapter 19, that they made themselves ready? For David, thy servant, say, turn not away from the face of thine anointed, for the Lord has sworn in truth. Unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my covenant, and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore. So it just went from you sitting on the throne for 1,000 years to forever. See that? You're going to get a throne forever. That's the whole point of it. That's why he said on the second death, I have no power. They just get mercy. Right? He said, for the Lord has chosen Zion, he has desired it for his habitation. You know what he said? The Lord has chosen Zion and not heaven. Where is Zion at? Right over the water. He's coming down to this planet, just like New Jerusalem. And all of us are talking about going to heaven. Who told you you're going to heaven? A preacher? Really? Tell them to read that in the book. Tell them to read that somewhere from Genesis to Revelation, and God is going to take you to heaven. Plain. Don't count that on fix it. You know, well, see, you got to understand. No, I don't. All I need is to know that something as plain as this is that the meek is going to inherit the earth. End of. Just read something like that. The meek is going to inherit heaven. It's not in the book. I'm telling you from Genesis to Revelation. Anyway, this is my rest for now. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. So he ain't even talking about going to heaven. Let me read this again, 132:13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell by desire. I will abundantly bless her provision. There it is again. Look at that word of blessed in Genesis chapter 2. And he read, and he blessed the Sabbath day. There it is. And then he said, I will satisfy her poor with bread. Where do you get the poor from? You mean it's going to be flesh and blood people around with the immortals? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going to be flesh and blood people and mortals going to be on this earth with Jesus Christ. That's why he said he's setting up kings, because it's still going to be flesh and blood. But the people ain't going to be ruled by these wicked politicians. They're going to be ruled by the righteous and God. It ain't going to get no better than that. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will clothe her priests with salvation. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There go that. There go the saints. There go the priests. In one conversation. See that? It's the Sabbath day is the promise of the saints. And what's part of the promise? That you're going to become kings and priests. You're going to rule on the earth with God. That's the promise on the Sabbath day. Let's look at it. But he said, I'm going to satisfy the poor with bread, right? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go on to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11, and it says this, 11:1. And there shall come a forth a rye out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his root. Well, we already know Jesse is the David of the father of David. And David is Jesus' great-grandfather somewhere along the line, right? And it says this, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And he shall make him a quick understanding. In the fear of the Lord, he shall not judge after sight of his eye, neither shall reprove after hearing of his ear. See, when they judge in the earth, they're not going to have to need a witness. They're going to just read our minds and know whether or not if we're wicked or righteous. See, this is the thing now. We got to clean our minds up so we can be servants of God. He can look in our minds and we could be good. This is that thing. He said, but this, he said, he would not have to judge. I said, he ain't going to be mean. Nobody, look, he did this to me, Lord. He already know. He already know if you lying and telling the truth. He already know if they lying and telling the truth. This is doing the kingdom of God. Now, this power is going to be given to all those that come up in the first resurrection. Remember now, he made kings and priests out the saints. So all the saints are going to have this power in their kingdom to rule and judge with this spirit. So it ain't going to just be Jesus ruling in Jerusalem. It's going to be Jesus calling the shots from Jerusalem. Like Washington called the shots over America. It's the capital of America. Jerusalem is the capital of the world. So therefore, he said, the saints is going to have the same spirit judging in their own worlds, in their own country. And it says this, verse 3, he shall make him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. We read that in Revelation. When he said he made war, his eyes were flame of fire, and the saints came with him. He threw the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire and killed his army, right? That's this conversation, verse 4. And it says this in verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loin, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. Righteousness, because he's the king of righteousness. He's Melchizedek, right? He's the king, he's the priest of the priests. He's the priest of the Most High God, right? And he said this, and the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Well, you know that ain't happening now, because you get a wolf around a lamb, that lamb is all bloody. He tore him up. Ain't no wolf playing with no lamb like a dog, like a domestic dog. That wolf is going to look at that lamb for what it is to him, and that's food, 100%. So he said, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. That's not happening now. That's going to happen in the seventh day. Remember now, he's bound Satan for 1,000 years. If it weren't for Satan, the animals in the Garden of Eden wouldn't be killing each other. He's showing us right here that it was all because of the devil that even the beasts of the field was killing each other. Watch this. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and a young lion, and the fattening together, and a little child shall lead them. You mean to tell me that a little baby is going to be playing with a lion? You mean to tell me a lion is going to be purring with a child all over it, not trying to eat them? A calf and a young lion going to be together eating. What? Let's read this verse 7. The cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together. He's telling us, look at all these carnivorous animals in what we call, what they call animals. You got the predators and then you got the prey. Okay, you got the predators and the prey living together. The cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together. 4,000 years. Listen at this. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. So he took away the carnivorous beast, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. You know how I know that? Because all of us that ever had a dog or a cat watched them eat grass. We watched them eat grass. A dog would eat grass. He'd smell it, he would eat it. So this is proof in the pudding. You know, that a lion would be eating grass too. It said, and a suckling child shall play on a hole of an asp, and a winged child shall put his hand on a cockatrice den. So the venomous snakes is going to be at peace. They ain't even going to be biting people and poisoning people. A child is going to look at a snake and see all them colors on it and look at it like it's a bug's daddy or something, or a taffy something. You know, you're going to have to be getting the snake out of his mouth because he's going to be trying to eat it. No, get that out your mouth. That's going to be that conversation. He ain't going to have to worry about the snake biting him. You got to worry about the kid putting the snake in his mouth, in his mouth, in these days. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water cover the sea. See that? They shall not hurt nor destroy all my holy mountain. Why? Because Satan is bound for 1,000 years. There it is. And that day shall there be a root of Jesse, Jesus, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, Israel. To it shall the Gentiles seek, white people, and his rest, the Sabbath day, shall be glorious. So they end on it. They get to rest with the rest of the saints of God. While Israel trying to throw white people in a lake of fire, it looked like to me they're going to be a part of the kingdom. Verse 10, I'm going to read it again. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, and shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glory. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set an ensign the second time in recovering the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, Africa, from Egypt, Africa, from Patros, Africa, from Cush, Africa, from Elam, Africa, from Shinar, Africa, from Hamath, Africa, and from the Isles of the Sea, here we are. Why are you going to all these African places if those are the Jews over there? Why they? Cush is Ethiopia. You know who in Ethiopia? The Falashians, the so-called Danites. Go look them up. Look up the Danites over in Addis Gray in Ethiopia. They over there now. He said, I'm going to bring them from Cush, Ethiopia. He told us in other scriptures, he said, aren't you like unto the Ethiopians on the mean? So we know we're not talking about the people now. We're talking about this is a coming. And he said this. He said, and it shall set up an ensign for the nation, and he shall assemble the outcast of Israel. Why isn't the outcast now? I thought they were gathered in 48. This don't look like this 1948. This looks like it's coming. And he said, and he shall set an ensign for the nation, and shall set an assembly of the outcast and gather together the dispersed from the four corners of the earth. They're going to have to give it up. All the people that were dispersed in them ships, they got to give them up. They're going to take them back in ships. That's what the book said. Now, let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Jeremiah chapter 8. Bear with me. Jeremiah chapter 8. Okay. No, that's not it. Zechariah chapter 8. That's it. Okay, Zechariah chapter 8. And it says this, Zechariah 8:1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I was jealous of Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. He took the whole world for her. He said, the slain of the Lord is going to be the end of the earth. And it says this, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth and a mountain of the Lord of hosts, holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet be old men and old women dwelling in the streets of Jerusalem, every man with his staff for very age. So they, look, man, people going to be, he going to reinstitute longevity. We're going to be living to be 400-500 years like in the days of Noah and Adam and Methuselah and things like that. Some of us gonna live to be 999 and stuff like that. Who knows? You dig? But it's gonna be up there. We're gonna be doing triple digits. And it says this. He said, every man with his staff of very age, and the streets shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Well, we know that. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. If it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, shall it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord? Yes, because he called it. He said, I'm abundantly bless her poor with bread. I'm going to dwell in the midst of her. It's going to be marvelous in my eyes. I hear what I dwell for. God want to be with people. Jesus want to be with the people. He want to live on the earth. And not just him. Here come the Father. In Revelation chapter 21, here come the Father. He want to be down here too. Verse 7. But he can't be down here because we're too wicked right now. The Son got to clean house. First, we got to come through the Son. Then he got to wash us, and then he got to root us out. That's how it's going to end up. And just that simple. Now, the thing is, we want to get here. If not, he's going to root us out. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east coming and from the west coming. I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. That ain't now, because they are in over there in truth and righteousness. Now, that's all we. And then he said this, thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophet. See, we hear this now. He's telling you to be strong because this is coming. And he said this, which were in the days of the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days, there were no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither were there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. I will set men against, that's coming. But now will I not be unto the residue of this, what's left of this people. This is what's left, because you're not even going to wipe the earth out. The slain of the Lord is going to be one end of the earth to the other. That includes even the children of Israel that's wicked. He said this, but now will I be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, says the Lord, Solomon. For the seed shall prosper, Leviticus chapter 25, like he said, for 3 years. There it is. The vine shall give her fruit. That's what he's talking about. The ground shall give her increase for 3 years, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Why are you talking about going to heaven? Why he's talking about blessing the planet, and people is teaching us we're going? No, that's not the plan. The saints is here. And he said this, and it shall come to pass that as you were cursed among the heathen, O Judah, O house of Israel, so I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, and let your hands be strong. Now, watch this. It says, now let's go into Zechariah chapter 14. Because remember now, he got to destroy the world before he turned it over to the righteous. He said, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations together against Jerusalem in the battle, and the day and the city shall be taken, and our houses rife, and women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth from the captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall thou go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. God's feet is going to hit the planet. So here comes God, not as Jesus, but as Jesus, as like Jehovah. You know what I mean? For lack of a better description. Just like he met Moses, and he walked in front of Moses and showed Moses what he looked like from the back. Moses saw God. He saw him. He saw him physically. He saw what he looked like. He saw his clothes. He saw how he praised God, because Moses was a Levite. So the God of Israel had to show Moses how the Levites how to worship him. So he did. He came down in all his glory and showed them. Anyway, it says this. That's a whole other conversation. But it says this. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. We don't want to read that stuff about people getting killed and slaughtered. Yeah, it's in the word. And it says in verse 4, and it said, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountain, for the valley of the mountain shall reach on Azar, and you shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzzah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. All the saints is going to hit Mount Olive. Boom. And he said it's going to be a big time earthquake, and the planet is going to split with all this take place. Remember now, he said he's coming with his army. And he come with his army. He said judgment started in the house of God. So the first thing he's going to take is Jerusalem back. 6, and it shall come to pass in that day that light shall be not clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, night, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that in the time it shall be light. So God is going to bring immortality everlasting with him. Well, I guess he had to because he brought all the saints with him. So they got it. So the power got to be in the air. And it says this, verse 8, and it shall come to pass in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be. Why you don't see spring and fall? Because there's only two seasons in the word of God, summer and winter. Man added spring and fall, like it's a difference. No, man, the equinox, the spring equinox is the beginning of the summer. The winter equinox is the beginning of the winter. Why? Because the spring equinox kick off the Abib, the winter equinox kick off, the fall equinox kick off the winter feast. So it's only two seasons to God, summer and winter. And it says this, even though you got four quarters, that's because you got 3, 3, 3, 3, which is 12, so you're going to have quarters. But he's telling you it's only two seasons. Not four, it's two. And each season is 6 months. 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day, and there shall be one Lord, and his name one. See that? He on the planet. He here. So that's that thing. So now we see this. So now we're going to skip down, and now he's going to teach the people something here. He said this. He said, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, hear that, pay attention to this. Listen at this memo in verse 16. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year and worship the king, the Lord of hosts, to keep the feast of tabernacles. So now the whole world is keeping the Sabbath day. You see that? They ain't talking about Christmas. They ain't talking about Easter. They ain't talking about nothing. He said the feast of tabernacles. Most Christians don't even never heard of the tabernacle. Most Christians ain't never heard of atonement or the Pentecost or the memorial blowing of the trumpet. That's a big one. They ain't never heard of. That is the first resurrection. And that's a sad thing because if you knew anything about the first resurrection, you knew the memorial blowing of the trumpet got everything to do with it. And it says this, verse 17. And he said, and they're going to come. And he said, and it shall be that whosoever come will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. So look, huh, so you ain't coming up here? Watch me starve you. You ain't got to worry about it. You ain't got to give me my honor. You can stay back there and you can be all hateful and all whatever you want to be, and I'm going to take all of my blessings off of you, and I'm gonna dry you up. Just like you see the starving people and the starving children in the third world countries, he going to turn. If America don't come up and see and worship the Lord once a year, he going to turn America into a third world country. Starvation and pestilence. That's what the book just said. And it should come to pass that whoever come up of the families of the earth to worship the king, there should be no rain. What's that? If it ain't no rain, that means your beast is dying. You got plagues. You got diseases. You got death everywhere. Are you kidding me? He still ain't playing with you? The DRS, that's that act right that God gave you. You know, that your parents used to give you? If they had, you had real parents, they slap the living snot out of you, you acting crazy, and here comes that pow! Yep, that's that act right. And it says this, if the families of Egypt come not up and come not, they have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite the heathens that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Case in point. You see? So everybody's going to be keeping a Sabbath day. Everybody. Everybody. In fact, let's go into Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, got one more after this. Isaiah 14 and 3, and it says this, and it shall come to pass, in that day shall the Lord give thee rest from thy sorrow. There we go again. There go the day of rest, right? Okay, ain't no misery. He said, I'm going to destroy all violence out of the day. Go be sorry. What? What's your problem? You got food. God is here. The saints is here. Everybody eating ain't no murder, no killing, no raping, no stealing, none of that. What are you sorry for? Who knew? Yeah, guess what? He just wiped out what? Bipolarism. Yeah, that's a shout out. Dig this. He wiped out bipolarism then. See that? Ain't no sorrow in your heart. Oh, that's going to be gone. He said, and from fear. From the, let me read this whole verse again. 14 and 3, it says this. This is Isaiah 14 and 3. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrows and thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve. That's not the Jew. The Jew ain't never did no hard bondage. I can talk about hard bondage with this shackle of slavery we just went through and all the hell we've been catching ever since in this world. 4. And thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how is the oppressor ceased? How the golden city ceased? The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers. See that? See it? He has to get rid of the wicked and set up the kings and priests to rule the planet. He smote the people in wrath with continual stroke. This is the king of Babylon, just working the people to death. That's why I said, you know, people thinking they getting something because they got 2 or 3 weeks vacation coming. Then they got to go and work for another 52 weeks. You got to work 50 weeks to earn one? What? And God said, look, you work for me 6 years, I'm going to give you a whole year off. You work for me for 50 years, I'm going to give you 2 years off. Case in point. Who the better of the two? I'll take him. Anyway, he said this. He said, verse 6, he who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nation in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. So he's ruling the people right now. This is why the city never go to sleep. That's why lights on 24/7. That's why the stores is always open. Continually, nobody is getting any rest. People are stressed out, working hard, overworked. He's putting the devices on them.